I don't like to run. I agree with the observation that was made. I'll start running when I see a runner smiling. And I've started noticing that. And it's true. When you look at the runner, I've never seen a runner smile. Other than Eric Liddell, who says that I feel God's pleasure when I run. He's the exception. And he's older than I am, so I can't start running. I haven't seen him do that. I love to walk, though. I love to walk. And God describes our relationship with him as a walk. From the outset of Scripture, in Genesis 3, we'll look at that in just a few moments. God says that he walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. And so God describes a relationship with him as walking. Now in 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 and 9, I want to look at with you tonight as we talk about walking in the light. Sidebar, yes, God does describe the Christian life as a race. Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and so on, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. He calls it a race. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. But more often, he calls it a walk. 1 John 1 calls it a walk. Notice it with me in verse number 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In verse 7, we have the walk in the light. Walk in the light. And John gives us five characteristics. Five characteristics of walking in the light. What does it mean to walk in the light? Well, there are two kinds of walk John mentions. Look at verse 6 with me. He talks about walking in darkness. Verse number 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. What's walking in darkness and walking in light? Walking in darkness means walking in wickedness, sinfulness, following the world, not following the Lord. So walking in darkness is the equivalent of walking in evil. God is light, John writes in verse 5. And so when we are walking in light, we are walking with him. He is holy, righteous, perfect. Keep your finger in 1 John. Join me in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, we gain some insight as we look at how God created the light. Verse 14 of Genesis 1. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. I want to camp on verse 16. How many lights did God make? Two. Two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. What's the greater light? Look right out that window and you can tell me. What's the greater light? The sun. The sun. The lesser light is the moon. Now notice that the greater light rules the day. The greater light rules the day. Now it's interesting Genesis says that because there's going to be a spiritual parallel. As the sun rules the day, it's the brighter. I love sunshine. How about in Michigan, we don't get it enough? There was a man I talked to who said, yeah, I moved to Nebraska so I could see the sun. And it's like, what? New Mexico, California, Arizona, Florida, Texas, I could understand. But Nebraska to go see the sun? Really? Never heard that one before. That was brand new. We don't see it enough in Michigan.
Amen.
The greater light is the sunshine. And it rules the day. I'll show you in a minute why that is fascinating. To me. The greater light rules the day. The spiritual lesson is the sun, the S-U-N, represents the sun, the S-O-N, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the sun controls and oversees and dominates the daylight, so Jesus Christ dominates and rules those who belong to him. The day. And I'll show you that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's exactly what Paul calls us. We are of the day. Now, the lesser light to rule the night. Now, we're the lesser light. You are the light of the world, Jesus said in Matthew 5:16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. We are the light of the world. And so therefore, we represent the lesser light. The moon has no light of its own, does it? It reflects the light from the sun. So do we. Join me in 1 Thessalonians 5. Look with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Paul writes here that we are not in darkness, but we are the children of the day. Look at me at verse 4. 1 Thessalonians 5, 4 and 5. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. There it is. You are not in darkness, i.e. you're not in sin. You're not in death. You're not in the world. You've been taken out of the world. And you are children or sons of the day. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day, the day of the Lord, should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. We are not in darkness. We are of the day. Move back to 1 John 1 with me now. Walking in the light means that we are in fellowship, we are in a relationship, a friendship with Jesus Christ. And here's how he wants us to look at that relationship. Stop right here. It amazes me that God wants a fellowship, a relationship with me. He wants a relationship with me. He made me for himself. He made me for himself. He made you for himself. That is why he saved us. We are created in his image. We are created for eternity. He has put eternity in our hearts. And he desires to have that walk. You know why I like walking? Unless you're power walking. But why I like walking is that you can talk to each other when you're walking together. You're not out of breath. You're smiling, actually, when you walk, and you can talk together. So the walk equals a relationship. Here's the first quality of walking in the light. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We have a relationship with Him. Notice it with me in verse 6. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And that one another is with Jesus Christ. Dear ones, He is the living Savior. He is the Savior who is the sovereign, King of kings and Lord of lords. And so we have relationship with the living Lord of the universe. How do we nurture that relationship? We do it through prayer. We fellowship with Him. The hymn writer said it so well. He walks with me and He talks with me. And He tells me that I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And so as I'm walking with Him and He is walking with me, we have fellowship with one another. He wants to have a friendship with me and with you. I enjoyed Dr. Howard Hendricks, former professor at Dallas Seminary, now in heaven. Dr. Hendricks talked about a family who had family devotions, and they were handing out prayer requests. And they said, their son said, "I need a shirt. So would you pray that God would provide a shirt for me?" And they wrote down, "Shirt for Timmy." Great name. Easy to remember. Shirt for Timmy. The local clothing store called them within a couple of days and said, "We've got some shirts for a boy. And could you use, I know you have several children, could you use some shirts of this size? And wouldn't you know that they're just Timmy's size?" And so that night at prayer, they said, "We have an answer to prayer for Timmy." And his eyes got big. "You've got a shirt for me." And the shirt started coming out. 1, 2, 3, 4. By the time they got done, he had a dozen shirts for Timmy. What do you think that little guy is going to remember? "I asked for a shirt, and God gave me 12. You see, it doesn't matter how old you are. He wants a friendship with you and with me. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I am in walking fellowship with Him. He leads the way. He sets the pace. He provides. He directs. 12 shirts for a little boy who asked for one. We have a relationship with the living Lord. Sidebar, God doesn't always give you 12, okay? But He knew what a little boy needed, and He gave him his need. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply some of your need according to His..." What? Say that again. Are you sure? I am too. It's not some. It's not most. All. My God will supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My dear friend, what a privilege it is to have a relationship with the living Lord. The Son of God. He is my Savior. He is my Sovereign. King of my life, I crown thee now. When I crown him King of kings and Lord of lords of my life, I am in perfect harmony with him. And dear ones, he will meet every need you have. Every single need we have, he'll meet. Not every want, but every need, he'll supply. The first quality of walking in the light is I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. There is a requirement that is given. We are in the light as he is in the light. We don't walk in the shadows. We walk with him as he is. The Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. As he is, the Lord of glory. We are in the light with him. When you wake up and somebody rudely turns the light on, you've been sleeping in the dark. What's it like when that light comes on? Yes, I'm startled. I'm shocked. I got to adjust. Welcome to what happens when I walk afar off. And he is in the light and I'm in the shade. Though I forget him and wander away, still he does love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms I would flee when I remember that Jesus loves me. Oh, dear ones, this requirement is that we join him where he's at as he is. That means we leave the darkness, we're in the light with him, and this requirement is we are as holy as he is. Let me show you a verse that fits this. Keep your finger in 1 John 1. Join me in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In 2 Corinthians 3, 14 through 16, 17 actually, it's a powerful passage that reveals the spiritual nature of the Jewish people even to this day of 2019. Paul says in this passage that the Jewish people are blinded and that the individual Jewish person in verse 16, when it shall turn to the Lord, the blindness shall be removed. I'm delighted when Jewish people come to faith in Jesus Christ. I'm delighted when non-Jewish people come to faith in Jesus Christ. But when a Jewish person comes and the blindness is removed and they see the Lord Jesus Christ as he is, the Lord of glory, the Messiah, the Anointed One, and they love him. As Paul said, the persecutor has become a preacher of the faith he once destroyed. Then in verse 17 it says, now the Lord is that Spirit. The Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And here is what it means to walk in the light, verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Just as by the Spirit of the Lord, he's changing us from glory to glory. And one day, we will be exactly like him. There's the requirement. We come to him in the light. Now, look with me at verse number 7. Go back with me to 1 John 1. Walking in the light involves a relationship. It's a requirement. We come to him as in the day. Third, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Notice with me, there is a response. Look at verse 9. Verse 7 says that we have cleansing as we walk with him. John adds in verse 9 that to gain the cleansing, what do we do? What's the word that John uses in verse 9 to gain our cleansing? Confession. Confession. The word confession means to say the same thing as. When I confess, I say to God, what I did was wrong. It is not saying, well, if I did anything wrong, God, would you please forgive me? Let me give you two examples of confession. By the way, the question is, do we have to confess? And the answer is yes. Our confession is based on a reality. What reality? Thank you for asking. Our confession is based on the reality that Jesus Christ has already paid our sin debt. That is permanent. Every sin, past, present, and future, has been paid for through Jesus Christ. So I come to him on the basis of the cross. And I ask, God, would you cleanse me from this sin? I lied, I cheated, whatever. I say the same thing, God. What I did was wrong. What I did separates me from fellowship with you. Lord, would you cleanse me and forgive me? I claim the only basis that I have is Jesus Christ's death on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection for me. Would you cleanse me? And he does. And he does. Let me give you the two examples. I love this one in Daniel. Join me in Daniel chapter 9. In Daniel chapter 9, I had the privilege of preaching this last summer in Indiana at a supporting church. And in Daniel 9, this is Daniel reading the Word of God, and he discovers that God in his Word had said that Israel would be in captivity in Babylon for 70 years. Daniel, realizing that, realized that the time of their departure was soon. Because we've been here, and he could start counting and add it up. And Daniel begins to pray in Daniel chapter 9. Look with me in Daniel 9 to verse 4. I'll start at verse 3. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, there it is, and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him, with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Daniel is specific to what he and his people did. This is specific praying, folks. This is naming the action and saying, God, it was sin. This separated me from you. I need to be restored. God, would you restore me? Sidebar, here is also how we can pray for America. As we are coming up on July 4th, within just a week or so. How do we pray for our own country? Here is the way. God, we have broken your law. We as a nation have done wickedly. And we pray and we cry out to God on behalf of America. Lord, we sing, you've shed your grace on us. Would you shed your mercy on us? Daniel cries out to God on behalf of his people. Drop down to verse 20, please. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 4, he says, we confess. I confess. Now verse 20. Now while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people. There it is, folks. I'm confessing my sin and the sin of my people. Do we have to confess? The answer is yes. We do. Why? Thank you for asking again. Because it's my relationship with God that needs to be restored. My position is set. I have security. I'm set in Christ. Folks, he's not going to leave us, okay? When you get saved, Jesus Christ comes into you forever. It's called eternal life. Jesus put it this way. He who has the Son has life. And he who has not the Son of God has not life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. How long is eternal? He'll never leave us or forsake us, Hebrews 13:5 says. He'll never leave us or forsake us. So we pray and we confess our sin to restore the relationship between us and God. As I confess my sin and the sin of my people, join me in Nehemiah. Would you please go back a few books to the book of Nehemiah? Nehemiah chapter 1. In Nehemiah chapter 1, Nehemiah encountered some who had come back from his homeland of Israel. And he asked about the state of the nation. Nehemiah 1, verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. It came to pass in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah. And I asked them, concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. Sidebar, when I was in Israel 10 years ago, I saw a pile of rock. It was white rock, all heaped together. And so I asked my cab driver, who was also my guide, his name was Nuri. I said, Nuri, what is that pile of rock? He said, Tim, that is from 586 BC. I said, say what? He said, that is from 586 BC, the Babylonian siege and demolition of Jerusalem. That pile of rock used to be a home, a structure, and now it's nothing but rubble. And I'm seeing it in 2010, 2009, from 586 BC. God dealt with his people, folks. He chastened them. He corrected them. By the way, Jewish people to this day are still under God's chastening. It's called the times of the Gentiles. And the Jewish people are under his chastening. He's drawing them back to himself. Oh, dear ones, the wrath of God falls on the wicked. The chastening of God falls on his own people. We get the chastening of God. And it doesn't feel good, does it, when God chastens? Nehemiah says that the city of Jerusalem is in ruin, burned with fire. It was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Verse 5. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant. Who is God's servant that he's speaking about, dear ones? Himself. Nehemiah, I'm your servant. Please hear my prayer before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. I was seated next to a dear Jewish man at the counter at Kirby's Coney Island near us at 12 Mile and Orchard Lake Road. Sat down, placed my order, and this gentleman came in and walked, and we began a conversation together. When he found out I was a preacher, he said, I need you. I said, really? He said, yep, I need you. He said, you know, I'm praying all the time, but my prayers don't seem to get through. Can you help me? I said, sir, can I ask you a question? What's the greatest prayer that God ever answered? He said, I don't know. I said, sir, the greatest prayer that God ever answered is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's where my prayer has to start, where I confess that I need a Savior and that He can be the only one to provide. He said, that would be fine if I were a sinner. Nehemiah said, I and my father's house and my people have sinned. Now, in light of that, let's go back to 1 John 1. Let's go back to 1 John 1. We have a response to God in our walking in the light. And that response is to confess our sin. I want to jump ahead. Look at the end of verse 9. For if we will confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Dear ones, when God cleanses us from all unrighteousness, the past is gone, the sin is broken, I can have fellowship with Him again. We can walk together again. It's been restored. There's the result of confession. My fellowship, my relationship with the living Lord is back on track. It's back on track. One of the ways that God uses to restore our fellowship, draw us back to Him, is at communion. That's why Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says, we cannot take communion unworthily. If we have anything at variance between ourselves and God, that needs to be taken care of. If we have anything with one another, that has to be taken care of. Because God is a relational God. And guess what, folks? We're in the family together. We're in the family together. Have you ever had somebody say, well, I don't want to go to church because there's hypocrites there? Really? There's hypocrites everywhere, friend. The church doesn't have a corner on that market. If you plan on going to heaven, you're going to meet those same people in glory. You might as well get used to it now. We come together to encourage one another, to comfort one another, to strengthen one another. Because we're all in this together. You and me and the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in it together. And the result of my confession is He cleanses me from all unrighteousness. He sets me free to serve Him. And now I'm going to give you one more, and then we're done. I have a requirement. I have a relationship. I have a response. I have a result. There's one more thing. Look at me at verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Mark that word, forgive. We have a release. Can I remind you of something? You want to know the difference between conviction and accusation? You know who convicts? The Spirit of God. He puts His finger on the action and says, that's wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. The Spirit of God will give you hope. The accuser will condemn you. We have two vivid examples of that on the night the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed. Judas was overwhelmed with guilt as he saw what happened to his, to the master, to the rabbi, to the teacher, to Jesus. And he went and committed suicide. The accuser condemned. Peter went out and wept, came back in repentance, and God used him. The Spirit convicts, Satan condemns. The Spirit brings hope and life. The enemy brings condemnation, accusation, and wants to drive us away. There is a release. He forgives me of my sin. I'm cleansed, I'm washed, I'm freed. Walking in the light. I've never seen a runner smile, but there's joy in walking with Him. You see, when He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. That is walking in the light. We walk with Him.